This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Focusing on health care costs, property taxes, higher education, and economic development, Governor Peter Shumlin delivered his annual budget address yesterday. And we're following up with the governor this morning as he joins us now on the line. Governor Shumlin, thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Mitch.
Now, the big news in your speech was this proposal for a 0.7% payroll tax to raise about $90 million annually. It will allow the state to get $100 million in additional federal money. Definitely a lot of money, and healthcare providers already responding positively to this. They really like the idea because now Medicaid reimbursements, they say for years they've been saying, are too low to pay for the services that people use. But what I'm wondering about is the criticism you've probably already heard. House Minority Leader Don Turner has criticized the payroll tax to pay for this as being too burdensome on businesses, especially businesses that don't contribute to employee health costs. What would you say to those businesses to convince them they should support that cost?
Well, this would be hugely helpful in doing three things. Expanding access to Vermonters who are struggling to get access to health care right now, which is really important. Keeping our primary doctors in business in Vermont because they can't survive under the current system where they get 40 cents from one person who comes to the door, 50 from another, and occasionally someone gives them a dollar for a dollar's work. And finally, it's going to lower rates for businesses. Now, I know that's hard to believe, but the fact is that right now, businesses that pay for insurance get the cost of the underpayment, the 40 cents, 50 cents, and a dollar, shifted to them in premium increases because it's got to be picked up somewhere. So, you know, Mr. Turner has a point. The folks who are not paying anything now will make a bigger contribution to healthcare in Vermont, but my belief is that they should and that this is a very modest payment for them. It's 0.7% of the payroll tax. So everyone should be paying. And frankly, what happens now is when they don't pay, all the other businesses that do pay and individuals pay for them. Is that fair? You got to ask that question.
Let's shift gears and talk about property taxes for a moment. This is such a big issue here in Vermont, and you laid out in your speech that small schools are not meeting the needs of Vermont kids. They can't offer things like foreign languages, arts, sports. You proposed eliminating contradictory incentives such as the small schools grant and a proposed construction aid for school districts that go through with mergers. That question, though, of local control is likely to be a sticking point. Do you think the incentives you laid out will be enough to break down what's been a long-standing resistance to school consolidation?
I hope it will. I mean, listen, this is where we are. Property taxes are going up faster than Vermonters can pay. Student enrollment keeps going down faster than we wish it would. I mean, we've lost 30,000 students, and all projections are we're going to lose more. And the numbers on this are frightening. Some of our schools in the last 15 years have lost half of their students. We now have the lowest student or staff teacher ratio, staff student ratio in the nation. And it's just not sustainable. So I think what my proposal, why it's so sensible, is what won't work is for Montpelier to say, hey, we know how to consolidate all the schools in Vermont. It's a cookie cutter approach. What applies to, you know, Barton will apply also to Burlington. Instead, my approach says, let's work, partner with local school boards, local communities to give them the data they deserve to know what happens in the future. Because in many communities, if you think your property taxes are high now, you know, the bad news is they're going to go way up as student count keeps dropping over the next 5 to 10 years if we don't all collectively act together. So I'm saying partnership, give folks the data, partner with them, give them the incentives they need to make the changes we need to make. And then ultimately, you know, I believe that'll work. Now, on the question of local control, you have to ask what local control really means today. In the smaller schools where our students are suffering because they're in a class with one or two or three kids in it, local control now means for many small rural school boards, do I cut, technology classes? Do I cut foreign languages? Do I cut sports? Instead of, I have local control to really build a positive and quality educational experience for my kids. So I would argue that local control, the way to keep local control strong is to partner with local communities to make local decisions that reduce cost, improve quality.
Is there anything the state can do if these schools don't take action and consolidate?
Well, what I've said is let's partner with them. Let's work very closely with them. Let's help them make the tough decisions, give them incentives and money to make the tough decisions. Ultimately, if they don't, there has to be a hammer. Either the State Board of Education or someone has to have the authority in very, you know, rare instances to say, listen, those kids are suffering. You're destroying their educational quality. You're running down the taxpayers' ability to pay. You've got to close that school or you've got to consolidate in this way. But that would be the exception to the rule. I really believe when you give Vermonters the data, the information, the partnership, and the resources, every time we make the right decisions. But what I don't want is the sort of naive view that you can somehow formulate the right decision for every community, because every community is unique and different. Every school district is unique and different, and every solution will be a little different.
Governor, we're looking at a $93, $94 million budget gap. Obviously, tough decisions need to be made. Part of what you're proposing is closing an income tax loophole in Vermont, one of the few states that hasn't closed it yet. But there are also cuts that you laid out in the address to Working Lands Program, low-income heating assistance, Vermont Interactive Technology, state libraries, Community High School of Vermont even. How are you going to get those passed?
Well, we've just got to do it. I mean, right now, here's our challenge. We have a growth rate of a spending rate that's growing at 5% and a growth rate at 3%. What's changed is the economists now tell us that that growth rate will continue for many years going forward. So a governor's got to balance budgets to keep this state strong, healthy fiscally. I think that the cuts and the revenue that I've put together, it's a very balanced approach, can be implemented without significantly hurting our most vulnerable Vermonters. In other words, we kept in place the programs that are helping our most vulnerable. Now, none of the choices are nice or are particularly happy. There's no such thing as happy choices when you cut budgets. But all I'm saying is my budget works. It's balanced. It'll put us on a fiscally sustainable path going forward. And if you don't like the choices I've made, I'm just asking the legislature to come up with their own for an equal amount. So we're not saying our plan is perfect. We think it's pretty darn good, but we've got to get the fiscal house of Montpelier of the state in order so that we're not growing, spending at 5% and growing at 3%. That just won't work for Vermont going forward.
In the past, you've been a vocal supporter of at least exploring a bill that would legalize marijuana in Vermont. And this would bring in revenue. Marijuana would be taxed. I'm wondering why that bill, it seems to have fallen out of favor in Montpelier. Would you support one going forward and perhaps not have to make some of those tough cuts you're talking about, bringing in revenue from a legalization bill?
Well, here's the challenge, Mitch. You could not possibly pass a marijuana legalization bill in Vermont fast enough and put it in place that would bring in revenue fast enough to affect the 16 budget that I presented yesterday. So we're really mixing apples and oranges here. Now, on the marijuana legalization bill, my view is that, you know, as you know, my bias is towards legalization. I'm glad that Colorado and Washington State have gone first. It's complicated. They're working out the bugs and figuring out what works and what doesn't. I think we've got to give those states the time to wade their way through this one. Let them be the pioneers. I keep telling Governor Hickenlooper and Inslee, thank you for leading the way for us. You figure out what works and what doesn't, what has a positive effect and what doesn't, and then we'll take it from there.
Governor Peter Shulman, thanks so much for taking the time this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me on the air.